FM, Ohio's sports destination.
Live and local, it's time for Fan Sports Sunday. If the weekend is a big desert for sports talk, think of this show as an oasis.
Yes, yes, here we go.
Come drink from our pool of hot takes as you quench your thirst with.
I thought I was going somewhere, but I'm not.
So let's just start the show. Here's Elon Musk.
All right, it's Fan Sports Sunday. I'm Tito, she's Jen. You just heard Caleb there. On the update, thank you so much for spending time with us here on the Sunday. Great show right before us, On the Money, always entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
How are you today, Jen?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Scotty said he feels energized. I feel energized as well. It's a combination of the weather, what we got on tap today with basketball. You know, we're into March Madness now. Next week, we set the clocks forward to have more daylight.
Oh, then the clock in my bedroom will finally be right.
And the clock in my sister's car.
Still hasn't been changed, I guess.
I'm just like, whatever.
My sister's car will have the right time as well.
Just have to remember that it's the right time now.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Right, it'll be perfect. it's a big day today for Ohio State basketball. By the way, we'll talk about that, a lot of that kind of stuff. We have John Gerber joining us, by the way, at 11:46 to give us, he's off to a pretty good start this week. He went 2-0 in his matchups yesterday.
Yes.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the potential new improved CFP. Talk about the combine just a little bit, not too much. What else we got? Obviously, March Madness talk. Something Shefty said yesterday was very interesting. A story he told this week, I guess I should say, that was very interesting. But today we've got the OSU women following us on the FM side here. Nationally televised game, College Game Day there, as Ohio State takes on Iowa and Caitlin Clark in her pursuit of Pete Maravich's record.
I'm excited for it. It's just going to turn into the Caitlin Clark show, obviously, because it's technically her last home game in Iowa. I mean, they're going to host games there, obviously.
Sure.
You know, the first and second rounds. But I'm excited because it's prime time. You know, not prime time, but like prime time, you know, Sunday afternoon.
I think Gus Johnson's calling the game.
He is.
Yes.
There was a picture that the women's basketball team tweeted out last night, and it was our guy Kevin McGuff, talking to Gus Johnson on the sidelines. So it was really cool. They were there doing practice. So I am super excited for this, and I just love that we have, you know, the women's hoops and their season today, and then the men and their home season today immediately following, and then they've got the one more against Rutgers later this week. So I'm excited. I mean, it's March Madness time.
Right.
Things are good, and I'm just ready. I'm ready to fail hard on brackets and participate in all that there is.
So what I heard on their this or that segment in the previous show there, again, On the Money, that love those guys, do a great job.
Yeah.
Their this or that, though, was, I think, Shaken Baker put it out there. If you could watch only one today, what would you watch? The men's game against Michigan, it starts at 4:00, men hosting them, like you heard Caleb say, senior day, Buckeyes still trying to have a late season charge here, see what happens, or the women's game, which would you rather, if you only watch one? We'll start with you, Jen.
I'm going to the women's game.
Women's game.
I know that sounds because, like, I'm a woman, but at the same time, I love this team so much, and I want to see it all the way through that, and it's just, like, their last time. Maybe they'll play him in the Big Ten tournament. Maybe they'll play him in, you know, the NCAA tournament, but I want to see them play Caitlin Clark one last time.
Jen said she's a woman. All right.
But that's not just, I mean, if it wasn't as big of a game as it was, I'd probably pull more towards watching the men's game if I had to. But, I mean, unfortunately, we can watch both.
Is there a difference between being a woman and a lady?
I'm neither one.
I'm just asking.
I'm just a girl.
Okay,
I'm
a
tomboy. How about that? I'm a tomboy.
A tomboy. I love it. I
like dudes, you know, but I dress like a 14-year-old boy.
Breaking news, Jen, also a tomboy.
Yes.
She's on a sports talk radio station.
Right.
She's a huge sports fan. Loves sports more than non-sports Matt.
Yes.
And shocking, she's a tomboy.
Yes. But I love makeup. That's the weird thing, right? Like, I could drop way too much money at Sephora and Ulta. And it still just look like, you know, this. So whatever.
Jen likes makeup. Okay, I'll stop. We're done. Caleb, you can watch one today.
Had to pick one. Give me the women's game. I feel a stronger tie to their team, honestly, because they were the first team I ever covered, like, in school.
Right. That's
so
awesome.
I will say this, though. The men's team, they just when I'm out.
I know. They've reeled me right back in.
Oh, my gosh. Like, this team has been so fun to watch, honestly, since. And I feel terrible for Holt, but they've been so fun to watch since Holtman's been gone. It's just a new energy. They look reinvigorated. Like, Jameson Battle, his 32-point game. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Like,
without Thornton out there.
Yeah. Yes. When I heard Bruce, so I didn't know that he wasn't playing in that game the other day.
Nobody
until
did.
Warm-ups. And I see Dale and, you know, sitting there coming out for lineups, and I'm like, what's going on here? They're like, Bruce has a migraine. And I'm like, this could get ugly today. And then, I mean, what do you know? Jameson Battle comes out, nails three threes in a row, and just sets the tone. I mean,
I think he was kind of pissed about that whole performance in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that was a while ago, but still.
Yeah, you're right. That probably stuck with him.
Time to step up.
I'm with you guys. I think it would be the women as well. And the game, on the grand scheme of things,
it's going to be a big old homer game for Iowa.
But it doesn't mean much for Ohio.
It doesn't, but at the same time, it's still going to be a fun competitive game.
And it also, like, I don't know, I love this rivalry that's kind of brewed, or that's been brewing, you know, between this DSU teams, especially, like, between Cody kind of and...
Sure.
Not to say that there's, like, beef or anything between them, but I love that she kind of is, you know, she understands the magnitude of the game. Like, Iowa is the top dog, and... Or not the top dog. I guess you could say the Buckeyes are the top dog now. Right. But, like, that is the premier matchup right now. And, you know, they want to be on top of that. So,
With Ohio State locking up the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament, and, you know, they go right into the quarterfinals, automatically get the double bye. And so, but optically, it means a lot. If I'm using that phrase correctly, I might not be. I'm just saying the optics of a win here would be very significant for Ohio State. It's one of those things where I think Ohio State, though, has nothing really to gain by winning this game, but a lot to lose. Because, and I'm not saying that the NCAA tournament wants a reason to put Ohio State lower in the seeding field, but Iowa is still trying to, they haven't secured a number one seed yet, I don't think. They're damn close, though.
They're damn close.
But if they can get a win here, that might put them in that already, for regardless of what they do in the Big Ten tournament. So it's a lot more for them. Ohio State, it's just, look, get knocked off would not be great, but it wouldn't be terrible either. But I hope it's a really competitive game. I'm excited about watching this one, though.
I am too.
On the men's side, Matt Painter's a dope. Matt Painter, when Ohio State beat Purdue, said, if Holtman were here to score, outcome would have been the same. And then, you know, Izzo was all pissed off. Holtman shouldn't be let go, and he gets beat at home. It's Ohio State. If Holtman's still there, and I, like you, Caleb, I loved Chris Holtman. I think he's a great man. I hope he has a lot of success wherever he goes next. But Ohio State would have lost to Purdue. They would have lost to Michigan State. Mm-hmm. They would have lost to Nebraska.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They would have lost all those games. And I'm not saying it's Holtman's fault, but the team is playing a different style, different energy of basketball.
They're playing as a team.
And it's like, okay, I was talking to somebody about this the other night too. Like, when you're getting later into the games in the second half, it was almost like the first half of the season, we're like, all right, what's going to go wrong? Like, you're waiting for, you know, everything to just hit the fan.
Right.
And then eventually, but I don't know, it's a different energy now. Like, this team, it's like, I'm not so worried necessarily if they're up five with, you know, 6 minutes to go. I'm like, all right, maybe they can
They're down five.
Right.
You're like, before, it was like they're dead in the water.
No, exactly.
It's over.
Exactly. You're waiting for the accident you can't look away from, basically. But now, you know, there's a different kind of confidence and, like, steadiness, I guess I would say, with this team. That's the word I'm looking for.
And we all know it is going to take a miracle to make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
But with each win, it becomes a little bit more likely.
The dream, it just keeps building. Like,
here's,
I'm giving myself more
about
and more hope.
Let me tell you what's going to suck about this. Let's say they win their last two games. They get to 19-12. And their seed improves so much in the Big Ten that they lose a game they were going to play, that they don't get a chance to play a game because they advance, you know, they get a bye or something.
Yeah.
So they could cost themselves a win by winning out. You know, you look at the final part of the season, they're like, look at their final record's going to be. They win these next two, they get to 19-12. But then say they win two in the Big Ten tournament because then the semifinals where they would lose. Then they end up 21-13 versus if they win out but don't move up, get a chance to get three wins, get to 22 and 13. You know what I mean? Like, it's, that's all.
It's
just that number you look at, though, the wins. Yeah. Now, you know, 22 and 13 to me looks a lot better than 21 and 13.
Which is the twos are a wider number.
Yeah, right.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. I'm very simple that way. But nonetheless, they're going to have to make a run in the Big Ten tournament to do it. But the win over Purdue is, it looks good.
We saw what they did last year in the tournament.
Yeah, I know.
For some reason, something happened, and then, oh, look. They're a team again.
They were the 13th seed. They won three and then lost in the semis to Purdue, I believe.
Yeah. What scares me, to be honest, is them running into Illinois in the Big Ten tournament. I think that if they played Illinois, they'd get killed.
Illinois is pretty damn good.
Yeah, they are.
But, I mean, I don't know. Other than that, I honestly do believe that they can compete with anybody else in the Big Ten. I mean,
I think so, too.
I think
beating
so.
Purdue, like, I hate to say, I mean, it was hard to beat a good team twice, but, I mean, we've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So today's game will be fun. So luckily, we don't have to choose between the two. We can watch both of them. Or, I'm sorry, we can listen to both of them right here on 97.1 The Fan.
There you go.
That's what we should do.
Good job.
But I can only imagine what the scene is like out there in Iowa.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, the fact that ESPN, their women's college game day is out there is pretty awesome, considering the fact ESPN doesn't carry any of the Big Ten anymore.
Right.
So to get them out there for that is exciting. And I know it's going to be a good time. And you look at Caitlin Clark and everything she's done. And obviously we knew she would be going to the NBA. The WNBA after this season. But I mean, it was still kind of shocking to hear her, you know, commit to that earlier this week. But I'm excited for her. I can't wait to see where she ends up. I just wish that we had a team in Ohio.
I know.
Then that way I could like pull a little bit more. So I just pull for teams where players go that I like. So I wherever she goes, I'm going to be a fan of that team.
Isn't Kelsey Mitchell on the Indiana Fever too?
Yes.
That's where, and that's where Caitlin would go.
Oh, that'd be honest. That's perfect.
They would kind of have a squad. I mean, Caitlin Clark, Kelsey Mitchell, elite backcourt. Yeah. They drafted Aaliyah Boston last year.
Yes.
I mean,
okay.
Could be a nice team.
I'm an Indiana Fever fan then, if that's the case.
And what's interesting, and Biddle touched on this too, which I loved. He talked about how much, he said no sport has changed more in the last 20 years than women's basketball.
Oh, and he's totally right.
It is. It's a total, men's basketball used to be, no offense meant, far superior to women's basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but women's basketball now reminds me a lot of what the men's game was like in the 80s and 90s, as far as like, they're not quite as above the rim, but they are more above the rim than they used to be.
Right.
It's very physical.
Yep.
They have they've great coaching, elite coaching in women's basketball, which has made a big difference as well. And I look back, I saw this article on The Athletic, and it's something I've talked about before in this show, but you know, there was a time in women's basketball, high school basketball, like in the 70s, where women played 6-on-6.
Yeah.
They had three on one side of the court, three on the other, that could only either play offense or defense. Yeah.
Spacing sounds
there's
awful.
There's no fast breaking. It's just like, so there's three offense, three defense on one side, three offense, three. There's no fast. You get the rebound, it goes the other way, and they set up their offense, and it was just completely archaic.
Yes.
Because they didn't think that women and girls could play.
Well, and wasn't it basketball? Just a 1-2-3, and then you had to shoot you had to pass the ball.
Something like that, yeah.
Like three steps.
Yeah, right.
Even if you were still dribbling,
you had to pass the
ball.
It was a totally different game.
Yeah, didn't want the women to get out there and get all exhausted.
It was extremely popular in Iowa, by the way. This is not knocking. I'm saying, like, Iowa high school basketball fans loved it. Like, there was, like, record crowds at state tournaments, all this kind of stuff. But it's just, it's amazing how far it's come.
Yes.
And it is so much fun to watch. I don't watch a lot of WNBA, but I watch a lot more women's college basketball.
Last thing on the women's game, too. Okay, so they just put up a graphic about the current rankings right now. So it had South Carolina, Ohio State 2, Stanford 3, and UCLA is the last one seed.
Right.
Iowa is like next up in line, basically, like the top two seed right now. Do you guys think that with a loss today, would that bump Ohio State down to a two seed? Or do you think they would just keep them both?
I think if they're winning the outright Big Ten prior to going to the tournament, the Big Ten tournament, I think they've wrapped up a one seed.
The only one would hurt them if they lost their first Big Ten tournament. If Iowa, say, wins the Big Ten tournament, like if Iowa wins today and then wins the Big Ten tournament, Ohio State doesn't make it to the final, gets beat before that. I could see that being a potential deterrent for Ohio State getting a one seed. But I think short of that, as long as they make it to the Big Ten semifinals, which should be an easy win for them over somebody in Minnesota there for the Big Ten tournament, I think that right there would secure the number one seed for them. They've just been so damn good this year. I wish so, but it would have helped their case more. Their three losses are USC, great team, but a great win for Ohio State. UCLA, another one. UCLA really bullied Ohio State in that game quite a bit. That would have been a nice win, and obviously they lost to Michigan. But if they would have won one of the USC or UCLA, I'd feel a little better about it. But I do think they're going to be the number ones, a number one seed regardless. All right, coming up next, how much will the Big Ten and SEC flex? We'll do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific. Garnish your Bloody Mary with sports talk. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
All right, Fan Sports Sunday. Tito, Jen, Caleb with you till about 12:45. And then we'll jump into the women's game, Ohio State and Iowa. Maddie Andrews on the call there out in Iowa for that. Number two Buckeyes, number six Hawkeyes. And later on today, Ohio State Michigan men's game that'll be coming up on these here airwaves as well.
Big day.
It is.
It's exciting.
It's a lot of fun.
It is.
So college football hasn't even had their first 12 team playoff yet. There's already talk about a 14 team playoff.
My God.
And the way it's presented right now, like one of the proposals they're looking at is they're calling it a 3-3-2-2-1. Which means that if they do this, three Big Ten teams are guaranteed spots, three SEC teams guaranteed spots, two ACC, two Big 12, one group of five, that's 11 teams, and then three wild card teams, one of which would be Notre Dame if they're in the top 14.
Of course.
Okay. So if Notre Dame's not in the top 14, you could have nine teams from the Big Ten and SEC among the 14.
That's over.
Which the Big Ten and SEC are fine with. They would be okay.
Right.
With that. The Big Ten's fine as long as them. SEC's fine as long as they're the one that's more. Nonetheless. Right. Okay. So I saw that come out and I felt like, okay, this is the Big Ten and SEC flexing. They're saying, you know what? And by the way, if you're the ACC and the Big 12, you are, as much as it sucks, you're only guaranteed two, you would take this if it keeps the Big Ten and SEC in your world.
Well, I mean, because their relevancy within the football ranks is not, right. I mean, they should be really happy.
Okay, so I feel like what the Big Ten did here was they said, okay, the Big Ten and SEC, but whatever. Like, I feel like the mega conferences said, like, I think they're going to keep saying stuff, throwing it out there until someone says, this is really too much. Okay, because that right there is a flex right there. Say, we get three no matter what. SEC, we get three no matter what.
Yeah.
That's a flex. The bigger flex is, reportedly, the Big Ten and SEC also want guarantees that their champions are the two that get byes.
Oh.
So, you could have...
That's spicy.
Yeah. Let's say the Big Ten champion has two losses, and the SEC champion has two losses.
Oh.
And an ACC champion is undefeated.
But they have a... But their
and they're the number one team in the country.
Isn't as big and powerful.
As loaded.
As loaded. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Was that your ACC voice?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure what voice it was. Was it an ACC voice or if it was a college voice or it was an SEC voice?
It's just in general.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just in general.
Like, and if they agree to that, then I'd say, like, one more thing. Okay. And on top of that, you know, keep going. You know, we want more of the money. Whatever, but so, nonetheless.
I mean, can we just play 12? Can we just get to that point?
Okay.
Yeah.
If they go to 14.
My head hurts.
Even right now, even at 12, I'm done with conference championship games.
Well, I mean.
It doesn't make it. You won't need them anymore.
Yeah, you really won't need them. And that's the next step, though. That's the thing, is that we'll do the 12 and then come 2026, 27.
Right.
They'll be like, all right, let's get rid of the conference championships and then just go right into the playoffs.
See, so that's what's going to be the thing is that if you look at it, I'm sure that some of these conferences say, wait, whoa, we're losing money then. We're losing the conference championship game money, all the tourism. No, you're going to make it more on the back end with all this new TV deal and stuff. Mm-hmm. And but it makes well, let me just give you an example here. Another thing then. What you could have happen then is you could have Ohio State and Michigan play the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Then play in the Big Ten Championship.
Yes.
And who, one of them's going to win that and go to the, and get a higher seed than the other one just because of that one. Not because of the first game, but because they win the championship because of the other one. And then they might play again in the playoff. I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see three Ohio State Michigan games. I mean, and that's like, you think about that, and that's what makes football, especially college football, so special.
Yep.
They're playing them once a year.
Yeah.
Yes. And the other issue for this is going to be, though, is if you get rid of the conference championship games, then you winning the conference, you'd have to have the best record, obviously, in the conference. Mm-hmm. Okay, best conference record. But you open up to debate. Yeah, but we had a lot tougher schedule than that school did because you're not playing 19 or 17 games in the Big Ten. You're going to play 9 conference games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could have Ohio State with a much tougher schedule than, say, Iowa,
yeah,
or vice versa. And because Ohio State loses one game and Iowa doesn't have to play a couple of really tough teams, they go undefeated. You could then have Iowa winning the Big Ten, even though they had a weaker schedule, maybe, or not as good as a team, and vice versa. Throw any two teams in. Same thing with SEC. Throw any two teams in there. If you get rid of the conference championship games, you could have somebody, because of the schedule. I remember the one year, it was like in the 80s, Iowa and Ohio State. And I believe Iowa played one more conference game than Ohio State that year, and they didn't play each other.
Oh, how weird.
Well, I think Iowa had been 7-2 and Ohio State like 6-2 or something, or something along those lines. Something like that happened, whereas because of an unbalanced schedule and because they didn't play each other, one team got to go to the Rose Bowl. But it just opens up to all other kinds of possibilities, things we can complain about. But I'd much rather complain about that. And I'd be fine with no more conference championship games.
Yeah. I mean, it's the way that the playoff was set up this way. Yes.
Right.
We needed that. But going forward, no, we don't need that at all.
I don't think so either. And just look, and I would eventually just go to 16 teams anyway. And if you want to guarantee Big Ten gets a few, the problem with giving the ACC and Big 12 each two guaranteed is, what if the ACC's second team you're guaranteeing gets in there really sucks?
Yeah.
What if it's like a 7-4 team or something? You know what I mean?
Ew.
Like that.
Well, they're shooting themselves in the foot. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, that's on them.
Tito, do you really think 16 is the end goal, though?
I do. I think 16 is the end goal.
I think so. I don't understand why we just don't
And
go.
I think you'll have teams hosting the first round.
From 12 to 16.
I think 12 already is kind of like a lot. I mean,
It is a lot.
I think that is kind of the sweet spot. I don't know. I feel like 16 we could be throwing in all kinds of chaos.
That we're jumping from 4 to 12 in a year.
Yeah, true.
That's crazy. But it's just like, if you wanted to get to the ultimate end game of 16, why didn't we just go from 4 to 16?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be jarring either way.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think you could see a 16 team eventually with Big Ten and SEC getting X amount of teams in it guaranteed, and maybe ACC and all that kind of stuff too, and Notre Dame having their way in as well. This is absolutely, if they do it this way, where Notre Dame, if they're in the top 14, they get a guaranteed spot as a wild card, that is just going to keep Notre Dame independent going forward.
And I hate that so much.
I wish they would force Notre Dame to join
the conference. I really hate that. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, me too. I think that they should force Notre Dame to join a conference, but it's not going to happen. If this goes through, and with the money tied into this, I mean, Notre Dame should be in the top 14 every single year.
Yes.
Which should guarantee them a spot, I would think. But we can say the same thing. Look, Ohio State should be in there every year. You know, Alabama should. Well, Alabama's going through a transition now.
But
Georgia.
Here's the thing, though. We can't discredit Alabama. I know that they're getting rid of Saban.
Right.
But at the same time, they should always hold. They should always be up there.
You would think, yes.
And yeah, I don't know. That's just, it's just going to be weird not to have Alabama, you know, up high. But I think it's something that we should always, you know, account for with them.
It will be fun this year seeing the 12-team playoff. I'm not worried about it devaluing the regular season like some people are, because it's still going to meet till the regular season.
Right.
And what I love about the way they're doing this now with the SEC and Big Ten getting stronger is how much it changes their scheduling models to where there are more premium games for every team that's of premium status.
I mean, look at what Michigan is going to have to go through to get to a Big Ten championship. They're playing Texas. They're playing Washington. They're playing the new guys from out west. Are they playing USC?
I think, let me double check that. I know for sure, yeah, obviously they're hosting Texas.
Yeah.
The second game.
Like, that's the season. Huge.
Yeah, I agree.
And so we're going to see Michigan take, you know, run the gauntlet on a team that's not the team that they won a national championship with.
Michigan host Texas, host USC, at Washington, host Oregon, at Ohio State.
My goodness. I mean, they don't have UCLA, but UCLA really isn't going to be much of anything anyway.
Right.
Not that they were before Chip Kelly left, but still, holy crap.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that is, if they still had that team together and Harbaugh was still there, like, that is a gauntlet, and that is something I would be really interested in watching. But now that, you know, Harbaugh's gone and a lot of the guys are leaving, it's not going to be anywhere the competition that we thought.
Ohio State's non-conference schedule is nowhere near what it was last year. They're playing Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall. They took a page out of Michigan's book in non-conference.
Yeah,
but at Michigan State, host Iowa, at Oregon. That's a three-game stretch right there.
Big games.
At Penn State later on, and obviously Michigan here in Columbus. But yes, so it's going to be, and look at the SEC schedule, same kind of thing. All right, coming up next, the combine has ended. Some of the top players didn't do a damn thing. Does it matter? We'll talk about that next. Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
Or hair.
Live, local, and still slightly drunk.
I'm not drunk, all right? I just have a speech impediment.
This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday. Tito, Jen, Caleb with you. Look, I don't like to do a lot of combine talk because it doesn't mean anything.
I watched a pretty good bit of it yesterday just because it's the wide receivers and the running backs and the quarterbacks, and I just like to see what they're able to do and how fast they're able to run. And but, I mean, it's really just, it's the underwear Olympics. That's all it is.
My son, who loves football.
Yeah.
Okay. Huge sports fan. He watches. He's 7 years old. 7 and a half. And we watched a little bit of it. And he sees some of the drills they were doing earlier in the week. Dad, let's go outside and do some drills.
Oh.
So he had me set up cones in the yard.
Yeah.
And he ran certain defensive back drills. He ran some of the linebacker drills. And he wanted to do the 40-yard dash. Now, we have a small front yard, which where all the stuff goes on. To do the 40-yard dash, I had to go all the way across through my neighbor's yard to do it. And I was like, dude, this is just too far. So he said, okay, let's do the 10-yard splits. So I had to set up a 10-yard cone, and he had me time him constantly, trying to get better on that, which is really hard to do to get the accurate time. But now he's keeping track of it
in a yard.
Every day now he wants to do these drills and see if he can get his 10-yard split time down.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
You got to love it.
It was fun.
So cool.
It was fun. But he didn't grade well in the defensive back drills. Just I was critical.
Full disclosure,
it was the hips. I mean, honestly, it's all great. His 10-second split time was 2.06, which isn't bad, but you know, it's not elite yet. We'll keep working on it though. Anyway, the top four picks, it looks like, for the draft, which would be the three quarterbacks. You know, with Daniels and May and Williams, some order, and Marvin Harrison Jr. None of them worked out at all at the combine. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't even do like he's supposed to have to for a media interview and canceled that. Didn't meet with the media at all, and none of that crap matters anymore. You know, like, it's fun to see, like, the guy from was it the kid from Texas? Is that the one who set the new record for the 40 time?
Yes,
yep. Xavier Worthy.
That was insane.
That was crazy. Yes, yeah. The 4.21. But the combine, it's not for the top anymore. You know what I mean? It's not for the top players.
No,
for the most part, unless somebody has to really want to prove something. You know, JJ McCarthy didn't look great.
Is anybody really surprised by this?
Yes.
All of the
Michigan fans are absolutely shocked that JJ McCarthy could not throw the ball really well consistently.
Trash.
What I thought was cool at the combine though is when they would show somebody running the 40 and have like the video with it of somebody who
was like comparable time
before that. And so by the way, hard time explaining that to my 7 and a half year old. When he's like, Dad, Mahomes is there. No, son. No. That's just that. Well, how do they do that? Well, Magic. I just say magic. That's all I say. But yeah, I thought that was cool seeing that, though, that they did that with different people. That's a neat. I don't know if they did it last year, because I didn't watch it much last year at all, but that's a cool thing.
No, I like that. It is, and it gives a good perspective on, you know, here's how they've turned out so far in the right. NFL, and then here's how they're up and coming in the NFL, and I really do like that.
All I ever get from the combine, the thing that I always look for is if somebody does great at the combine. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it means to be a great NFL player, but it does tell you they have great work ethic if they prep for the combine.
Yeah.
Whereas if somebody shows up a little bit out of shape and doesn't do well, that makes me question their work ethic.
A little bit of a red flag for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think if you run a 4.3 40 means you're gonna be a great player. Obviously, what was it, John Ross? Is that the
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you run a great 40 time does not translate to being a great NFL player, but it might show you that it might break a tie somewhere. Yes. If you choose this guy and this guy in the third round or something, you say, you know what? This guy really did great at the combine. He like worked his ass off to get ready for the combine, and that's the edge.
Well, and a lot of times, a lot of athletes also, they try to make themselves look better in their pro day.
Sure.
The combine. Like, yeah. Look, this is where I was now. This is the improvement I've made over a span of like 4 weeks, which is a little weird. But at the same time, I can see where they're coming from with that. But it still doesn't make much sense. You would want to shine on both aspects, I would assume. Like, you look good here and then you look even better.
Isn't there a conference that's doing like a conference pro day? Is it Big 12?
I think it's the Big 12.
The Big 12 said instead of they're going to do like a conference pro day. They may have done it last year too. I'm not sure.
They did it last year, and they did that. I mean, just because there are not as many heavy hitters in the Big 12 as there used to be.
Yeah.
Especially now that Texas and Oklahoma are, you know, going to the SEC.
Right.
That's why they're doing it.
Yeah. So I, the pro day though, that's where, and I understand if that's where Harrison's going to work out. If Harrison really honestly doesn't have to work out anyway.
He doesn't.
And really, he's Caleb Williams doesn't tape. Either.
Well, my thing is where, who's going to throw to him at Ohio State's pro day?
Steve Belisari. No, I don't know who's going to throw it. I'm not
but
sure.
But that's the thing. Like, who is CJ Stroud going to come back?
I bet Stroud would.
I would love that.
That'd be fun to see.
Yeah. I would really love that. But, like, who really is going to throw to him?
Right.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Yet, I was just thinking of that, like, this weekend, because I think I'm going to, I might have a credential to go to Pro Day, which is, like, in my mind, fireworks and excitement.
That one commercial about becoming your parents when LL Cool J's in it, they say, picture a bubble. You got to do that with you, with Mike Tomlin. Okay, Jen, the picture, there's a bubble around Mike Tomlin.
I know.
You try, hey.
No, I'm just going to stand selfie. Off to the side and just be like, just I love you, but I hate you. But no, and that's what I was thinking about. Like, who the hell's going to throw to Marvin?
That's a good question. That's a great question.
Is it like Ryan Day going to get out there and
bring
like,
McCord back?
No, McCord shut up.
All right, coming up next, we are joined by the host of the From the Rough podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine and golf betting expert John Gerber. We will do that next. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Big voice guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. During weekend programming, pants are optional.
Look at my butt!
However, leather chairs may have been a bad choice. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, and Caleb with you, and now we're heading out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, joined by the host of From the Rough podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine, golf betting expert John Gerber. Gerb, where in the hell are you today?
Good morning. I am on my way to Kansas right now to do some work for Orion Golf. So I think I'm in Kansas. It's windy, so that usually means you're in Kansas. So I think that's where I'm heading to.
The Cognizant Classic in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, going on right now. Fourth round. Leaders tee off around 140, I think. You went 2-0 yesterday, right, in your picks, head-to-heads?
Yeah, 2-0 yesterday. Got off to a really good start, and pretty seemingly easy wins yesterday that gets our record to 11-3-1. We have 3 matchups today, and we also have picked Shane Lowry to win the golf tournament, so he's sitting there tied for the lead. But we had something cool that happens 3 or 4 times a year. We had everybody in our card made the cut, so we have some opportunities to potentially finish in that top 20. I think that's about it. Davis Thompson needs to make a move, but 3 matchups today that I really like. I like Matthew Fitzpatrick -105 over Tom Kim. Fitzpatrick's got off to a pretty good start, 2-under after 6 holes. I do like Cam Young +140 over Rory McIlroy. Cam Young just got nothing out of his game all week. If you watch him, he's terrible on the par fives. He's one of the longest guys out there that kind of sits maybe six or seven shots back. But this golf course doesn't lend for long hitters. If you see all the guys on the leaderboard, they're not notoriously long hitters. So it's kind of a plotter's type of golf course. That's why Lowry's playing so well. And our last matchup for the day is Bud Cauley -102 over Garrick Higgo. I think Bud Cauley not being in that spot for a long time. He's had that 3-year layoff after his car accident. I think he just, the nerves got to him yesterday, and he played pretty bad having that lead. So I think he bounces back today with a matchup against Garrick Higgo.
Yeah, the three guys you had as winners, I think, were Lowry, Young, and Russell Henley. And Henley and Young are tied for 11th place, five down. Not that I expect them to win, but still, that's pretty impressive having your three guys that you had selected as possible winners that all three are in the top 11.
Yeah, for sure. We have those guys. And, you know, as long as you don't watch the coverage today, maybe one of those guys can sneak up and win. Because, you know, when you watch it, I hope, you know, NBC doesn't come on your channels today, because then if that's the case, we'll have a chance to win. But I think Lowry has certainly, you know, if you look at the guys on that leaderboard, there's no proven winners. I mean, Van Rooyen's making a move today. He's 6-under for the day. But, you know, with the track record that Shane Lowry has, he's finished second in that golf tournament three times. And with the misfortunes 2 years ago when he had that terrible last hole with the weather delay, I mean, if you believe in golf God, he certainly has a leg up on some of these guys that's never won.
That's pretty, as a layman, I'm just saying, somebody doesn't follow as closely, obviously, as you do. Like when I see you're picking against McIlroy in your head-to-heads, I mean, that's a pretty ballsy call on my part, but I understand what you're saying. It's because of the course layout. But McIlroy looked decent yesterday for a while, right? He had a decent run.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, again, this golf course doesn't lend to longer hitters. I mean, Rory hasn't pulled the driver out a lot. But you look at Rory's track record, you know, if he gets off to kind of a slow start, Rory's kind of one of those guys, if he's not going to win, he's not going to, you know, he's going to let everything out. And potentially the next 2 weeks with Bay Hill and the Players Championship, you know, if he gets off to a slow start, will he start thinking about the next 2 weeks with the elevated field event and the players? So that's kind of Rory's MO. If he's not going to have a chance to win, he kind of practices for the next week or potentially the next big event coming up. So I really like Cam Young getting +140 on your money, and him having a terrible day yesterday. I think he has a little bit better of a bounce back day.
Bay Hill being next, John. Is there, as you like, early look, are there a couple of players that you have your eye on who could do really well at Bay Hill in the elevated field?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be another kind of one of those deals like this week. It kind of depends on the weather. You know, Orlando can get a little spotty with the weather this type of year. But look at a guy maybe like Tommy Fleetwood to play well there. I'm going to have to look at the weather a little bit more. But Tommy Fleetwood is always a guy that always plays well there. So he's a guy you could potentially look at. But that is kind of a little bit of the polar opposite that's going on this week, because the longer hitters certainly have an advantage out of Bay Hill. They can carry some of those dog legs and hit some shorter irons or long irons in some of those par fives. So maybe the longer hitters will have some potential, but the guy off the top of my head is Tommy Fleetwood.
John Gerber, host of From the Rough Podcast, writer for Golf Central Magazine, golf betting expert. Follow him on Twitter or the X, whatever you want to call it, at J Gerber PGA Pro. You know, you mentioned the Sawgrass coming up, and I read something the other day about when they first opened it up for the pros, when they first like got the course together, pros were complaining about the island green and complaining about the grass they were playing on, and just complaining left and right about it. Is it one of the favorites for the players? I know it's an elevated field, but do you get the sense that the course itself is one of the favorites for the players?
Yeah, they certainly warmed up to it over the years, and a little bit of that also is, you know, it's the largest purse on the PGA Tour. So money kind of talks with these guys. $25 million purse this year, which is kind of unprecedented, and next week it's $20 million. But, yeah, they've warmed up to it. I mean, they were initially, you know, they were complaining because it was too difficult. And, you know, when you get that wind in Jacksonville potentially in the springtime and you play in that island green, even though it is 140 yards, I mean, it's a 3-iron for you at 140, but most of the guys are hitting wedges and 9-irons. So it was just something different, and they certainly warmed up to it, and it is definitely the premier. You know, these guys want to win it. They, you know, some of these guys consider it's the fifth major, but it's a hard golf course. If you drive the ball terrible out there, I mean, it's very difficult to play. It's not as much water as this week, but certainly there's the finishes. I think it's the best in golf.
I've done very well in the Sega Genesis playing that course, but I'm curious, how many of your golf balls have you donated to that pond around the island?
I have played there three times, and I've only hit that green one time.
Really?
Goodness.
So, yeah, two. Two times I've hit, yeah, and it's, like I said, it's a 140-yard shot, and if there's no water, you can almost throw it on the green, but certainly that water, you know, is a little bit intimidating, especially for those guys, and, you know, you can, it can get windy there, and the wind conditions can change, so, you know, there's some guys that's been made a fool of on that hole for sure, and it's a critical hole coming down the stretch for that golf tournament.
Golf Depot, things going well out there, getting ramped up for you. If you guys aren't busy already, it's going to be a great couple of days. It's going to be 72 degrees here tomorrow. I got to believe it's going to be hopping out there.
Yeah, certainly. I certainly saw the weather. It definitely looks good. Yeah, everything's getting rocking and rolling. We're opening up and indoor facilities there. So you need to go out there and check it out. I'll be up there next week. So I will certainly be out there for a couple of weeks getting things rocking and rolling out there.
Perfect. Make sure the golf balls that I'm hitting are brand new. I don't want to use other ones that people have already hit.
I certainly will make that happen for you, your own little practice area.
You're the man, Herb. Thanks so much for joining us, bud. Safe travels.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Have a good weekend.
You too. That was John Gerber, host from the podcast, writer of Golf Central Magazine, golf betting expert.
Ask him to get you the ones that explode.
That's, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me.
Wow, he hit it so hard it exploded.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason he wants me to come out there is for just the tricks.
It blew up.
Right. Just for the tricks. He wants to do it. By the way, coming up next, we got the top of the hour, we got the Sports Center update. Get you caught up with everything's going on. Also, make sure you stick around because at 12:18.
12:18? What's
Matt
going on?
Andrews will join us live. Courtside from Iowa. I say courtside, I assume he is. But we will talk to him also later on in the second hour. This is Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Common Man and T-Bone are idiots. You should listen to them anyway.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio's idiot destination. Sports talk, weekend style. You're listening to Fan Sports Sunday.
Indeed you are, Fan Sports Sunday. Tito, Jen, Caleb with you. Here until 12:45, OSU Women at Iowa coming up. Cannot wait for that. Make sure you stick around. We're going to preview that game with Matt Andrews, the voice of the Ohio State women's basketball team, coming up in the next segment around 12:18. We'll have him get a take a feel for what the atmosphere is like out there. Jackets, by the way, get a nice win on the road last night.
Yeah.
Look, I know it's the Blackhawks.
Well, they swept the season.
Right, and the Blackhawks suck. So, but I'm saying, though, still, right. it's a good feeling to know that
as crappy as the Jackets are, there's someone out there who's even crappier than the Jackets.
They won 5-2, so yeah. It was a nice win for them. Johnny Hockey got a goal on an empty netter at the end. Cole Sillinger scored. Alexander Texier scored. So, yeah, I think wasn't Elvis in goal last night for them as well?
Yes. And Texier scored in the opening minute. Which
right,
was
right
like,
away.
Holy crap, this is setting the tone for the game.
I like it when Columbus does things that always happen to them. Like, you know, they're usually the team that gives up the goal in the first minute. They're usually the team that gives up a lead in the last minute, you know, whatever. Like, it's always a big deal to me.
Yeah.
When the Jackets do something that has happened to them, it seems like, for years.
I think you're totally right. But you're right. It's just like, oh, wait, they're the ones beating up on the team?
Right.
Yes, all right. Then, Caleb, what were you saying? When is Star Wars night?
Next Saturday.
Oh.
Star Wars night at lower.com. Kind of, yeah, I'm thinking about
it. Oh, that's the crew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to go to Star Wars night.
So I went to Star Wars night at Huntington Park.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, I think it was, with the kids. I say the kids so you guys don't think I'm creepy there. I did not dress up in costume or anything.
You were dressed up.
I was a stormtrooper attire.
No, he was a Jawa.
I was Princess Leia.
Right.
That was me on that one. No, I wasn't Princess Leia.
No.
Anyway, my kid, Arthur, had a Darth Vader mask and a Darth Vader lightsaber.
Nice.
And so we got some cool pictures of him with Vader. And really, to be honest, based on some of his behavior sometimes, he might actually be Vader's son from the dark side. didn't do any DNA testing there, but I thought about it. But it was a lot of fun, though. Stormtroopers walking around, you know. Obviously, you're not going to get people that look like, you know, Luke you're not going to find that. No. But it is funny, though, to see, like, the stormtroopers in their full garb and Vader, a 6-foot Yoda. No, but it was... It's a fun thing, though, the Star Wars night stuff. It's really cool.
And then in 2 weeks, the Blue Jackets, this is really cool. We are doing, in conjunction with them in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Matty Ice and Anthony Rothman are going to be at the game on Saturday the 16th.
Okay.
Prior to.
Right.
They are holding like a Q&A with Anthony Munoz and Orlando Pace.
No
and
kidding.
And if you buy tickets, there's an opportunity for you to upgrade your ticket to go to this discussion, and you get a commemorative football helmet with a Blue Jackets logo on one side and the Hall of Fame logo on another, and you get a meet and greet with and Orlando, and I am so excited.
Yeah, Munoz holds a position now at the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
It's like as a, I don't want to say spokesman, some kind of community outreach kind of guy, but with the Hall of Fame, though. Munoz, though, one of the greatest, if not the greatest offensive
lineman. So this is something I am so excited for.
Yeah.
And so we will be giving away, Rothman and Ice will be giving away tickets, and the tickets also include passes to the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's awesome.
So I'm like, oh, I want to be involved in all of this.
I have told people for years.
I've never been.
You're making a huge mistake not going there.
I know, but here's the thing. My dad took my brother.
Right.
He never took me. I have a husband who hates sports. So who the hell am I going to go with? So maybe if I can finagle some tickets, maybe I'll go with some listeners.
Or you, look, I'll tell you.
Like, can I just ride in your car?
Listen. I lived across the street from it for a year.
Right.
Like I was right there.
Oh yeah, when you worked up at that Demons.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I used to go by myself quite often. It's actually cool. It's like going to a museum by yourself.
Oh,
it's not
the
worst thing in the world. I've gone, you know, but there's a lot of cool. It really is.
I really, really, really want to go. So I think this is like an exciting thing that the Blue Jackets are doing. And I can't wait to start giving away passes for this because I think people are going to be really excited.
That'll be a lot of fun. Crew Time Minnesota 1-1. By the way, next game for the Jackets is tomorrow. They are hosting
the Golden Knights.
Wow. Which probably means a loss. So thankfully they got that win.
They are 33-21-7.
And Columbus is not.
You know what though? Good for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
20-30-10. Nice round hole numbers.
Cancel the rest of the season. Crew Time Minnesota 1-1. LeBron hit the 40,000 point mark.
I watched that.
We are all witnesses.
Yes, I witnessed that.
Look, I understand there's a lot of LeBron haters out there. And I understand there's a lot of people will say when they get in the debate, oh, LeBron's no Jordan or whatever. LeBron had to do all these things to win a title, had to go form a super team. And whenever anybody says that about LeBron, I remind them. And I'm not saying they're wrong for thinking Jordan's better. I'm not saying you're wrong for doing that. That's fine. Or if Kobe, you want to say Kobe, that's fine. You can have that opinion. You can have that opinion. The reason LeBron left to form a super team because his franchise, the management, sucked.
Did nothing to help him.
No. And Dan Gilbert still kind of sucks.
The reason Jordan didn't have to go form a super team, because they drafted Pippen.
Yes.
They drafted Grant.
Yep.
They brought in Rodman. You know, they made the right decisions. The Bulls sucked before
they were
Phil
terrible.
Jackson and before they got the help for Jordan.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't fault LeBron for having to leave. If you want to win a title, because we tell everybody, look, if you didn't win a title, you're held on a lesser level if you don't win a title. Barkley's on that level. Marino's on that level in the NFL. Karl Malone's on that level. John Stockton.
Yep.
You know, if you don't win a title, you're down lower. And so LeBron, for his legacy, went to a franchise that was going to make the right decisions. Now, granted, part of it was his decision by saying, hey, Wade, Bosch, let's play together. So, yes, he did have a hand in that.
Now, let's think of it this way, okay? Now, the people who hate that, he has created this whole new era of the NBA, and that we are now seeing these super teams form.
Right.
And we're seeing that, I mean, it's not collusion, but it's collusion. We're seeing all this happen. And you know, Kevin Durant, the only way Kevin Durant can win any games is if he goes and finds other people to play with him, because he's not that great.
If Durant was on those Cavs teams that James is on, he wouldn't win a title either.
No.
But he wanted to go somewhere to get that on his resume, and now Durant's got a couple of them. So I don't fault LeBron for doing it.
I don't either.
The fact he's at 40,000 career points is just absolutely amazing.
I'm just happy he won one with the Cavs. That's all I wanted.
Oh, I know. Yeah. By the way, the 40 points came on, or 40,000 points, his 40,000 point came on March 2nd.
Yeah.
Also on March 2nd, but a few years back, 1962, was when Wilt scored 100.
No
so
way.
On March 2nd, we have two significant events
That's really
in the
cool.
NBA. Something else LeBron said that I don't know. And this is where LeBron, look, this is where I think LeBron sounds, I don't want to say it the right word is. This is where he says things that I'm like, just shut up. when he talked about the hype surrounding Bronny.
Oh.
And like there's mock drafts that come out. We know there's you can go find 100 different NBA mock drafts for the upcoming draft.
Yeah.
And some have Bronny going in the first round, some I'm going the second round, some not at all. And he just said, look, let's not talk about let him be a kid. He's not a kid.
No, he's not a kid.
He is your legacy. He's your name. And you know, so I it's not like Bronny's getting blasted in all these things. I fully expect Bronny to get drafted in the first round this year.
You think first?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Tito, you still, I don't know. I feel like it's been such a rough year.
Oh, no. I'm not saying he deserves it. I'm telling you what's going to happen is, though, the draft happens. 2 days later, LeBron has to decide if he's going to opt in or opt out of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to use a first-round pick on Bronny, thinking we'll get LeBron, think it's a package deal. We'll be able to get him. I could see the Knicks doing it.
That's the last big area he has yet to conquer is New York.
Got to be honest, LeBron on the current Knicks team now, too, would actually be really exciting.
Oh, it would be. So that's what I think is going to happen. I think that Bronny's going to declare. And Bronny said, I'm not sure. He says he's going to decide on the draft based on team interest. Look, he's going to be a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter about it. No one's going to spend a high first-round pick because LeBron's not, doesn't want to go to a lottery team. You know, LeBron wants to go to a contender. Somebody in the second half of the first round will take Bronny, hoping that also gets them access to LeBron.
Do you think, you know, it would be hilarious?
What's that?
The Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
The Pistons just decide, you know what? We're just going to do it. Here, come over.
Yeah, right. Or think now
that's so funny.
It won't happen. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen unless a trade gets made. But how interesting would it be if the Spurs.
Oh my God!
He loves Popovich.
Yeah, he does. Mm.
You put him on. You put LeBron on the Spurs.
I can't see LeBron in San Antonio though.
It's weird, but
he loves it
with Wendy though.
I know. Loves Popovich.
That would be so much fun.
Loves Popovich.
I mean, Malachi's there too. Some St. V connection.
Oh, he could be a mentor.
That's what I'm saying.
Guys, it could be in the cards.
Wouldn't that be interesting if he did that? But the way it's all structured, though, it sets up perfectly for LeBron.
Yeah.
Because he decides 2 days after the draft, is his deadline. And so he's going to wait and see what happens with the draft with Bronny before he makes a decision.
It would be fun. I would like to see him with the Knicks, honestly. I just want him back with the Cavs, but that's, you know, not going to happen.
Him and Pop, though, with Wembanyama and Malachi.
That would be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
But they'd have to trade, because they're not going to use a lottery pick on him, on Bronny, but if they could trade back up into the first round, I could see him trying to grab him if they want to give something up. All right, coming up next, Matty Andrews is out in Iowa for this Ohio State-Iowa game. He's got the call for us, and we're going to be joined by him next right here, Fan Sports Sunday on the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Instead of annoying national people talking to you this weekend, we've opted for annoying local people. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, and Caleb with you. And now we're heading out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline, joined by play-by-play voice of the Ohio State women's basketball team, sideline reporter for the football team. I don't know what he's got a list of things, but he's Matt Andrews, and he's joining us now. Matt, what's the atmosphere like out there?
Off the charts, Jen. Tito, it's crazy. We got a police escort at 10,
nice.
10 Central, and really traffic wasn't bad. That's because half the arena was full when we got here because of game day.
That's right.
And it's filling up more now, but game day stopped about a half an hour ago. Fox has some pregame coverage at the bottom of the hour. Our pregame will start at 9:45 here on the radio side, but it's different. It's electric. It's kind of a hornet's nest. But we've known it was going to be this. And I guess what makes it so satisfying from the perspective of Ohio State is you come in here and there's nothing for Iowa to win.
Right.
This thing's over with. Now, look, Caitlin Clark's a great story. And there's wonderful senior class, and she's going to pass Pistol Pete here today. But again, we can compare apples to oranges or whatever you'd like in terms of the number of years played, the three-point arc. It's a special day. It's her senior day, and it's going to be a night. I keep saying night. It's a senior day where folks are not going to soon forget it. In these parts, and I think in the women's college basketball period world.
Are you going to lose your mind? Because I know you. You get a little upset when calls don't go the way that they should go. Are you going to get upset once those refs start calling everything for Iowa?
Who said they're going to do that?
I just have a feeling.
No.
Okay. I just know sometimes the refs like to throw things, you know, one way when it's a big game, and it could mean, you know, record breaking and stuff.
We got a good crew. Gina Cross, Natasha Cammy, Bruce Morris. No.
Okay. I mean, I've heard you though.
Well, now we'll call like we see it. If we think it's wrong, we'll do that.
Okay.
But they're not going to slant the game because Caitlin Clark's senior day.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Maya Moore's in the building. I mean, it's a big day for her. She got to meet her.
Rebecca Lobo was standing at the counter with me today with checking out of the hotel, but ESPN's here. Everybody's here. Yes.
Okay.
But no, they're not going to. The officials will be fine.
You know I like to get under your skin, right, Matt? You're the only one. Because I value you. I love you. You are an amazing broadcaster, and I just like this is fun. I get under your skin.
Matt, when it comes to the gameplay now, what is one thing you're looking at, a couple things you're looking at that Ohio State has to do or has to avoid to get the victory today?
Transition defense, rebounding. The Buckeyes were +4 on the boards in Columbus. Transition defense wasn't great at times, wasn't bad at others. Look, I'm not sure Iowa can slow Ohio State down. We talked a bit about this last night. Taylor Theory had 6 points in that game in Columbus. I think she's going to be a huge X factor if the Buckeyes come in here and win. Now, foul trouble certainly would be a big component of that, but if she stays out of foul trouble, I'm not sure if Hannah Stuckey's guarding Cody McMahon that they can stop Taylor Theory. Just the thought that came through some minds as we discussed this last night.
Well, and we saw them abandon the press early on when they played them last time. Do you expect more of the same this time around?
Well, we saw it as well against Michigan and Maryland. Yes, Kevin McGuff's not going to be bullheaded about that, and I think that's great. By the way, game day had a nice little set here, obviously.
Yeah.
And they talked to Lisa Bluter, the coach that will finish second or third in the league this year. And I get it. It's Iowa's home court. Kevin McGuff didn't get any time, so that kind of chapped me. But anyway.
Well, that's not right, Matt.
That's ridiculous.
Health-wise, how's Ohio State looking? I know Ricky played in the last game coming off the sprained ankle, and then I think she had 4 steals in like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Everyone in relatively decent health heading into this.
To my knowledge, they're in good shape. Everybody's out there that traveled warming up right now, yes.
Good.
Now, Ebony Walker's not available again, but she didn't travel.
Do we have a reason on that, or is there something public about
that? No reason given. Not available tonight. Today.
Okay, but doesn't rule her out going forward, right? Or
that's
have
a good question for the head coach. I would tend to believe you are correct.
Okay. For Iowa today with Caitlin Clark, I mean, I remember I talked to McGuff before they played Iowa the first time, and he said that, you know, I told him there's two ways you can approach this. Obviously, one, you can say we're going to focus heavy on Caitlin Clark and not let anybody else beat and let the other people do what they do. The other way is, you know what, Caitlin Clark's going to get hers. Just make sure no one else beats you. Which of those two would you say is probably the better way to go about it today?
Let her get hers and don't let a Molly Davis or a Kate Martin or a Gabby Marshall beat you. Hannah Stokey also would be in that group. Yeah, if you're going to let Caitlin get hers, let her get hers.
Matt,
she's gonna get a lot.
I feel like the Maryland game was an important win for the Buckeyes because one, they had to overcome adversity when they had the bigger lead and got down to 5 in the third quarter, and on top of that, you had to overcome Cody McMahon's foul trouble in that game, where she had to sit for a good chunk of the game in the second half when she picked up her fourth foul in the third quarter. Am I overthinking that, or was that being able to win that way, also when the press wasn't working the way it normally does, those three factors made me think that was an important game to win for Ohio State?
No question. I would counter that, Tito, in saying the first Maryland game was the bigger win for the Buckeyes when they were in College Park and they were down at halftime. But yes, the last Maryland home win, there were obstacles. That's the thing we're learning about this team, in my opinion, and Kristen will maybe chime in and agree or disagree as we go forward. There are situations this team overcomes in-game. They're winning different ways. I get the feel that they've got the mindset that they're not going to lose, and that's going to be scary. That could be scary today. And again, maybe it won't be. Maybe Iowa wins this thing and ends this Buckeye 15-game winning streak. But their mental approach, their focus going into this one, from what we've seen the last 2 days of practice and today, it's at a real all-time high for this club.
Get you out here on this one, Matt. So one of the things I've loved watching is the adjustments that the Ohio State team makes at halftime. They did it against Michigan in their last game in the third quarter. They come out and they outscore everybody except for, I think, three opponents this year in the third quarter. They have a big third quarter always. When I try to give McGuff credit for it, I can say McGruff, I guess. When I try to give McGuff credit for it, though, he put it all on the players and everything. Man, I'm telling you, it's amazing what this coaching staff and these players do after halftime.
Tito, my pregame will start in 15 minutes. That was one of my questions to Kevin.
Oh.
And I alluded to his credit, and then the players, they've got to do it. You're right. There have been three games where the Buckeyes have been outscored in the third quarter. UCLA, Iowa, and game two against Maryland. But that third quarter advantage is 628 to 431.
Wow.
22 points to 15 on average for the year.
Now, see, that's why you're Matt Andrews. When I did the stat, I did like a six-game sample. You went through and did it all. That's the hardworking Matt Andrews you get here on The Fan. Man, look, I tell you, it's an incredible event for you to be out there and do that. I'm so glad you're here, your voice on the call.
Yes.
And enjoy it out there and soak it all in, my man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. That was Matt Andrews there, voice of the Buck. It's a cool event. You know, I texted him earlier, and I started to text, what a great opportunity you get to do this. And then I thought, you know what, saying you get almost sounds like he's, you know, it's almost like a luck thing. I just said it's a great opportunity to be a part of this is really
right.
What it is, because he works his butt off.
He
for
sure
the station.
Does. And after we get through this,
yeah,
he's on to baseball.
Yeah, I know. It's not. Yeah, he goes.
He does not stop.
Right.
And then he's on to football.
He's on to football sideline reporting and stuff like that. So, but hopefully he's doing this well into April. Final four this year is in Cleveland.
I know. Oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
Love it.
We'll keep an eye on that. Keep following that. And this women's basketball team. Again, the coverage starts. He just said, great for Matt to take time. Talk to us live here. That was not a pre-recorded thing.
No.
But he goes on the air 12:45 for his stuff. So anyway, coming up next, Shefty told an interesting story this week, and we'll talk about that next. This is Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
If you're starting your day any other way, you're doing it wrong. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
TheFan.com. Just because it's the weekend doesn't mean we shut up. This is Fan Sports Sunday.
Fan Sports Sunday, Tito, Jen, Caleb with you.
It was a short show.
It was.
But it's worth it.
Yes. OSU Women coming up next here on these here airwaves. Matt Andrews, who you just heard the last segment, taking time out of his busy schedule to talk to us. The pregame starts at 12:45. Stick around as he talks to McGuff about the question I asked him.
There was no planning on your behalf with that.
No.
You just asked a question.
Yeah, just asked about the third quarter thing is amazing, though. Like, seriously, every game this year they've outscored the opponent third quarter except for the three. The Maryland game, most recent Maryland game.
Yep.
And then before that, it was UCLA and the first game against Iowa. Is that what he said? No, Michigan.
Michigan.
Yep, that's right. They had their huge third quarter against USC to start the season after Ohio State laid an egg in the second quarter and came back and outscored USC in the third, like 27-10. Anyway, maybe more than that. Before we get into this thing about Shefty, this year, Jen, and I'm not saying, I want to make sure I'm being respectful when I say this, but because of where the women's program is this year and the way women's college basketball has gone this year, I feel like March Madness is starting today.
I totally agree with you. We've got the big game for them,
right.
and for the men
and
too.
For the men.
And yes, it really is. I mean, and we've got a great slate of the NBA today. Like, I'm excited for Celtics and Warriors. It's coming up at 3:00, so I'm going to be using my YouTube TV 4 wide at an advantage today, and I'm excited.
And the women's Big Ten tournament is going to be exciting as well. Like, absolutely. I'm excited with that stuff. Start. Usually next week is when March Madness starts for me. Like when you get to the men's conference tourneys leading into the tournament draw. But this year it feels like it's earlier for me. Maybe that's why I got the little pep in my, maybe that's why I've got the energy. Maybe it's the same reason Scotty Vegas said he had the energy as well, was because it just feels like March Madness is going to be longer this year and it's starting earlier.
And I, as someone who desperately misses football and has been watching the combine because I need my football fix, I'm ready. I'm so happy that we've got excellent basketball right now, because I'd be losing my mind if we didn't.
I heard the story from Schefter. Adam Schefter was on Pardon My Take, and he was talking about how the 49ers ended up with Brock Purdy. And, you know, the 49ers had the number 2 overall pick, and I'm paraphrasing all of this. I'm not going to say verbatim. I don't have the sound. Anyway, they had the number 2 overall pick in the 2017 draft. San Francisco, in that draft, remember, was like Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And San Francisco was convinced they were going to get Kirk Cousins when he leaves, when he left Washington to be a free agent. San Francisco wanted Cousins. Cousins wanted to be in San Francisco. So because of that, the 49ers did no work on, like, no background, didn't investigate, didn't look at things, didn't scout Mahomes. Okay? Like, they figured, we have Kirk Cousins coming. We're not going to waste a lot of resources scouting this guy. We've got Kirk Cousins coming our way. So, fast forward after the draft. And in the middle of the season that year, the Patriots called the 49ers and said, hey, we want to trade you Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick. 49ers did that. Okay, we got Garoppolo. Now the Kirk Cousins thing is dead, right?
Right.
They got Jimmy Garoppolo, their quarterback of the future, right?
Right.
So in that 2017 draft, they did draft a quarterback in the third round, C.J. Beathard. Okay, Beathard played in San Francisco for 4 years, and then he went and signed with Jacksonville. Now, when Beathard signed with Jacksonville, that gave the 49ers a compensatory pick. The last pick in the 7th round.
Oh.
They used to draft Brock Purdy.
Look at that.
Which is an amazing story. It just goes to show you, though, how lucky you have to be when you're doing this.
Yeah.
Because we all, look, Mr. Relevant's not supposed to be starting in a Super Bowl at quarterback.
No, he just not goes supposed away. To be doing it. He goes away.
Not supposed to be doing it. And the fact the 49ers were like, we're going to get Cousins. We're not going to do any work on Mahomes or Watson or anybody, you know, thankfully for Watson for them. But I'm saying, like, you know, we're not going to do any work on scouting these guys because we're going to get them. And then it turns out that because they did that, they lose Mahomes, obviously. Mahomes, they lose. Mahomes goes to Chiefs and is, you know, obviously having the career he's having. But They spent all the draft capital on Trey Lance, who didn't work out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, all these different things that happened. For the 49ers, Brock Purdy has saved Shanahan's job and Lynch's job in San Francisco. Can you imagine if they had to go through the last couple years with Trey Lance as their starting quarterback?
And that's the thing. We forget about Trey Lance. We completely forget about him. Good Lord.
Yeah, but that's a cool story, though, that Schefter told.
It is.
About that. You can go check it out. Yeah, it was on the Pardon My Take show, Pardon My Take podcast when he said that. So, yeah, it's funny how it works out, though. But Trey Lance, by the way, Dallas has said they're going to retain him.
Okay.
Wow.
But I, yeah, I
more power to them, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
guess he'll ever play after Dak.
No.
I can't believe it, but...
Maybe if Dak pulls a hammy or something, but other than that, no.
Okay, if the Cowboys, let's say Dak were to get hurt early next year, do you really think they'd want to, with Jerry Jones being 114 years old, wanting to win another Super Bowl before he dies?
Yeah.
Do you think, like, if Prescott suffered, like, a Tom Brady-type injury that 1 year when Brady... towards ACL
and Jimmy Garoppolo
to start the season. Was that Garoppolo? That wasn't Garoppolo.
No, that was Castle.
Yeah, Matt Castle came in. But I'm just saying, like, do you think that Jerry Jones say, you know what? God, let's ride with Lance. I don't think so.
No.
You think they would
go out and get somebody else? Yeah, they'd go out and get somebody else, I would think. They would, hell, they'd get Flacco, somebody like that. They would get a veteran who's proven it already.
Teddy Bridgewater retired, so he's out.
If he calls, Teddy Two Gloves would go back. You know, he would go back if that were the case. If they offered him the money and said to go quarterback the Cowboys, I don't know. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong on Trey Lance. I just don't see it for him.
No.
Anywhere. Speaking of that, like the quarterback thing is going to be interesting to watch over the next few weeks. The Fields trade, if it will happen. It sounds more and more like it will. It sounds like the Steelers are involved. The Falcons, it sounds like, according to reports, prefer either Kirk Cousins or maybe even Baker Mayfield.
Please just go to the Steelers.
I know. I'm with you.
I don't want to hear about anything else.
See, but you guys are Steelers
Caleb.
Fans, which is why
Caleb.
You want that. As a Browns fan, I would hate to see that.
Well, you would hate to see that because it would be detrimental to the Browns.
Oh, it would be terrible. Yeah. I mean, I think Justin Fields would be amazing in Pittsburgh. I think he'd be great.
And I think he'd finally get, like, they would adapt their plays to him and his style, and it needs to happen.
I would prefer him in Atlanta, even though I will say, Tito, I hadn't heard anything about the Baker to Atlanta smoke, and I kind of like that.
Not bad.
Yeah, I would like that move.
I mean, he's not as crappy as I think everybody thought he was going to be.
That's such a great compliment by you.
Good for you, Baker.
Not as crappy.
That's as nice as I can say about Baker.
That is the kind of compliment a wife gives to a husband. You know what? You're not nearly as ugly as you were, or as I thought you were.
Just learn where you can and can't stick a flag there, Baker.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to follow that, though, and see what happens there. Cousins and the Vikings, and also Mayfield, the Buccaneers, they're talking, but we'll see what happens with it. Like I say, Cousins could become a free agent. The Giants have talked about moving up in the draft, too, though, to get one of the top three picks. Because I think they are giving up on Daniel Jones and realizing how stupid it was to sign him to that Chris Holtman type extension. So it looks like the Giants might be trying him up as well. The Patriots, who knows what the hell they're going to do. New regime there. We'll find out on that one. But the combine now and a little more going on today, I think. Rearview mirror for the most part, though. And start posturing for the draft, which is, we can say it now. The draft is next month.
Yay.
It's next month. By the way, Pittsburgh put in for a future draft. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, that would be fun.
Pittsburgh got to host a draft. It's Detroit this year is where it's at, up there with the Lions. So the draft, I can't wait for it.
It'll be fun in Detroit, too, I think.
I love the way they do the draft. It's been a total transformation. When ESPN first said they wanted to televise the draft, people laughed at them. And look what it's become all these years
later. It's a weekend of fun.
It is. A lot of fun. So, all right. That will do it for our show today. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you to John Gerber. At Jager or PGA Pro is where to find him on the X. We'll see how his picks do today. I won't watch it out of respect for John. because he's already asked me not to do that. Thanks to Matt Andrews. He's going to be on the call here shortly. The pregame show starts at 12:45 or so-ish, I guess, is when that will get going. Ohio State, Iowa. Folks, it's the start of March Madness. By the time we get back together again next week, Jen, it will be an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
But really not. So coming up next, Ohio State, Iowa. Thanks for tuning in. Fan Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Death, taxes, and beating Michigan every damn year. This is your flagship home for Ohio State football. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.